Hi, listeners. Welcome to a new episode of Worlds Collide, the podcast where I talk to people who moved abroad or live abroad for a long time, for a short time, or even if they just returned home. So my guests tell me about their experiences. Before we start, so I have like 3 points I want to get to. So first things first, as always. If you like the show and if you are a frequent listener, why don't you give me a 5-star rating wherever you listen to the podcast? And even, I mean, if you would, that would be so nice. If you have like a minute or two, then you could even write a nice sentence of why you like this podcast on Apple Podcast. I would love that. I would definitely love that. And if you haven't done it already, push the follow button in the corner of your app so you will be always notified when there's a new episode dropping and you can listen to it right away. That was that. Now talking about this episode, my guest is Kevin and he lives currently in Thailand. This is his home for now. I am super excited to have this because it would be the first episode that we have on this podcast that is about Thailand. But Kevin, he is super crazy. He lived in so many countries when he was growing up. Oh my God. And we talk about this a little bit in our conversation as well. Oh, and I wanted to give you a quick heads up that the first 5 minutes of the audio are not that great. But I promise you it will be a lot better, but I apologize for that. And I also want to tell you about this social platform that he has built, especially for expats. It is called Host. And there you can find solutions to expat problems. Wow, how great. So check it out. It's called host-global.framer.website, or there is a link to it in the show notes, so check it out. And here is now our conversation. Here is Kevin. Hi Kevin, how are you today?
Hi, I'm very good, Victoria. How are you?
I'm good too. Thanks for being on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so where are you right now?
So I'm currently in Thailand. I've been in Thailand for about a bit more than 6 years now. So yeah, I'm currently on a remote island.
Okay. What does it mean, remote island?
So when I say remote, it's not completely remote, but it's, I would say, away from the mainland. There's no airport that you can access the island through. So you have to take a ferry to get out to go to the mainland.
Oh, okay. So 6 months. Where have you been? Where did you move from?
So I was actually in Bangkok. So I lived in Bangkok for about 6 years. And then recently, I mean, my partner has always been living here for a couple of years now. So we were doing a long distance relationship. And then, I had the occasion to be able to move to the island. So I did that about a year ago.
How is it so far?
It's great. It's actually familiar because I used to come visit my partner quite often, so I'm quite familiar with the island. I already have some friends here. So it's just a matter of moving.
Nice. Okay. And so what brought you to Thailand in the first place?
So in terms of Thailand, I actually had a chance to do a internship when I was a student. I actually studied hotel management. And we had to do a semester abroad to have real life experience. I actually came to Thailand to do my second internship in Bangkok, and then once I graduated, they invited me back for a full-time offer. So that's how my Thailand journey started.
Okay, and when was that?
That was back in 2015.
And before that, where were you?
So before that, while I was studying, I was actually in Switzerland. But in terms of Thailand, it's a little bit complicated because I actually lived here for 2 years first, and then I left for 3 years and I came back like right before COVID.
Okay, so, but where are you from originally?
Oh, sorry, yeah. So I'm actually from South Korea.
Oh, but so you have like almost no accent. Where did you learn English so well?
So I lived in a couple of places. I actually lived in about, my story is kind of unique. I lived in about 14 countries so far.
14.
Yeah.
You moved quite a lot in your life. Yes.
Yes. So I, when I was, before I was born, actually, we were already abroad. And then I was my mom just flew to Korea just to have me. And then we went right back to where we were. And since then, I've been living abroad pretty much all my life.
All right. So what were all the countries that you lived in?
You want me to list them or?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Sure. So I started off in Hong Kong, then went to Australia, so England, and then Brazil, Dubai, went back to Korea for a little bit. And then after that, went to the Philippines, the US, and then I went to school in Switzerland. And then after that, Portugal, Thailand, and then Laos, Vietnam, and the Maldives.
Oh, wow. And what was the longest you've been at one place?
Actually, it's been Thailand now.
Thailand. Oh, yeah, sure. Because it's been 6 years or 7 years, I guess, now, if you add them up.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, that is quite a while. And do you remember from moving around as a little child?
So I have vague memories from when I was in Australia, but before then I don't. But mm-hmm. I would say most of the time I do have some kind of memory.
Okay. And so is there like then a place where you say like you feel the most at home? Is it Thailand then?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That has always been a struggle for me. But lately I would say that Thailand has been feeling like home. Yeah, something about it. I feel very comfortable here.
Uh-huh. So was it when you moved there, did you already know right away, oh yeah, I want to stay here a little bit longer?
Actually, that's funny you mentioned that, because the first 6 months, I struggled a little bit to adjust to the culture. And you know, even though I had lived in different places before, for some reason, I struggled a little bit in the beginning. But after I finished my studies and I came back, that's when I really started to enjoy it. And I really started to feel like, okay, this is kind of, it feels like home and I really like it here.
So you struggled a little bit in the beginning because you were there for 6 months and then you wanted to leave or?
Yeah, so I had to leave because my internship was ending and I had to finish my studies. So I left, and then I once I graduated, I was offered a job at the same place. And then I came back, and that's when I really started to like it.
Okay. And so, and in Switzerland, this is where you applied for the internship. Was there a reason you wanted to apply for Thailand? Or was it just for the internship that sounded like the right fit for you? Was it more like, I want to try something in Thailand? Or was it more like, oh, this job sounds really good?
I would say it's more the latter, because I actually interviewed with the entire company, and they obviously have different properties all around the world. Mm-hmm. And so I had interviews with a couple of regions and a couple of countries, and Thailand seemed to be the most appropriate for me at the time. So I decided to go with Thailand.
So, well, you know, you never know where the future brings you, right? I mean, probably you did not expect that you're going to stay there for so long.
Absolutely not. And it's quite a common story you hear from expats here, is that they thought they would be here just for 6 months or just for a few months, just on holidays. And then you hear them stay here for years and never want to leave.
Right. You know, but it was funny because I thought like this would be like a story. I thought like you were from the United States and you moved to Korea. So, and I was thinking the whole time, I wish I would have a story about Thailand, you know, because it's like always, people always kind of assume you live by the beach when you move there, you just drink out of a coconut, or you retire there and you never have to do anything again for the rest of your life. But so tell me, so what is life like in Thailand?
So life is pretty, thank you for mentioning that, actually. It's pretty glamorized sometimes. Like, yeah, like you said, you know, sitting by the beach and drinking a coconut. Depending on where you live, that's not always the case.
I guess.
So if you're in Bangkok, obviously, it's just like any other major city. Yeah, you have a lot of offices and you're just, it's the same thing, like working a lot. you know, having a great social circle, just city life. And mm-hmm. on the contrary, I'm on an island right now, and it looks very different, where most people here are working remotely. So people are working mm-hmm. in cafes, then they're maybe going for a sunset later after work, mm-hmm. meeting up with friends at the beach. And on weekends, it's mostly like, yeah, spending time in nature with friends, going on hikes, and yeah, sometimes mm-hmm. drinking coconuts by the beach.
Right. But so do you still work in the hotel industry?
No. So I left the hotel industry back about a year ago. And okay. right now I changed my career. So I'm a software engineer right now. Working
Okay. So this is why you can work remote.
That's correct.
Okay. So, I mean, I also would have been possible to get a job in a nice hotel, like in on a remote island, because I'm sure there are plenty like that.
Absolutely. The only thing with Thailand is it's a little bit challenging because they only hire senior level positions in hotels for foreigners. Mostly it's local, so it's a little bit more challenging to get a job that, unless you're in Bangkok.
Okay. So how was it for you then settling in the beginning? Let's talk about how was it settling in back in Bangkok, like when you came after you finished in Switzerland.
It was actually pretty smooth because luckily I had an experience here already. So it was smooth because I knew people already that were living in Bangkok. I already had some friends. I also had previously worked with some of the colleagues that I continued working with after mm-hmm. Switzerland. So okay. the transition to a full-time job was much smoother. Mm-hmm. I would say the only challenging aspect in the beginning was when I came back, it was actually a managerial role. So some of the people that I'd worked for was actually, let's say, in the same level in terms of in the hierarchy.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. there was a little bit of challenge there when it came to obviously working with people that you had already worked with. And they maybe thought that, oh, we're in the same level, but now you're on top of me. So there was a little bit issues there, but you know, sure. it was a great challenge and I really, really enjoyed it. And mm-hmm. yeah, so it was pretty smooth.
Did you have a place to live right away?
Yes. So before I actually came to to Thailand, mm-hmm. I actually started looking for places already. And in the very beginning though, to give me some breathing room, they actually allowed me to stay at the hotel for about a month.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's nice.
Yeah. So they gave me a room, and then once I found a place, I moved out.
Nice. Yeah. That's great. That's like helpful, right? So like no pressure. So how did you then make friends? Were you friends with your coworkers?
Yes. So for me, it started off as becoming friends with coworkers, and then it just compounded from there. You know, a coworker introduced you to someone that they know, and then you become mm-hmm. friends with them, and then they introduce someone that they know, and then you start to know everybody in the city, because Bangkok there's so many expats, and everyone uh-huh. pretty much knows each other, even though mm-hmm. it's a big city. And yeah, that was a cool thing. There's a very big yet small community mm-hmm. in Bangkok, as ironic as that sounds. So everyone knows each other, and it's very easy to make friends.
Okay. And so, I mean, I imagine for Bangkok, it's probably English is fine to get by. But what about where you are now?
So here, I mean, actually in Koh Phangan, which is actually an island. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Full Moon Party.
Yes. I mean, I've never been, but it's famous.
So basically, that's where I'm at. And mm-hmm. because of the Full Moon Party, it's a very touristy island. So a lot of people are used to foreigners, and so everyone speaks English. It's not a problem.
Yeah. And so what do they assume usually when they see you, where you are from? I'm curious.
That's a great question. Every time I travel, not only in Thailand, but in the region, everyone, for some reason, automatically associates me to be a local. So it seems like I blend in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
which can be a good thing, in my opinion. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's the same thing here in Thailand and on this island. Everyone naturally thinks I'm Thai, mm-hmm. so they speak to me in Thai first.
And then
when I tell them that I'm Korean, yeah, exactly, then they go, oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of let's say, Asians that are foreigners living in Thailand, especially in an island like this. So I think that's the reason why they assume that I'm Thai.
Right, right. And so do you speak Thai by now?
I don't speak it fluently, unfortunately. I wish I did, but but I do speak some basic Thai to get around and to, you know, for to have a basic conversation, let's say.
Okay. How different is it from Korean? Like, if I think of like languages in Europe, for example, like Dutch and German are very similar. They have like some of the same words. Is that the same case for Thai and Korean?
Actually, no. For Korean and Thai, it's very, very different.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There are maybe, I'm aware of maybe one or two words that are the same. I think two numbers are the same or sound similar. But other than that, it's a very, very different language. It's very, very complex as well because it's a toned language. So depending on your tone, the same word can mean something different entirely. Just by the tonation, which we don't have in Korean.
I see. Okay. All right. So it's for you. You also pretty much had to like learn from scratch. It was not like, oh yeah, this sounds familiar or something.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. It's completely different. So yeah, it was, it's easier to, I think, pick up words, but when it comes to, you know, formulating a proper sentence and really getting deeper into the language, you have to really learn.
Okay. Properly. How did you learn it?
It was mostly by communicating with my team, so and my colleagues who are mostly Thai.
Okay.
So obviously they're not native English speakers, or they don't speak English at a very high level. So in order to facilitate and to communicate well, we had to obviously learn a bit of Thai. It's always helpful. So I think that's pretty much how I picked it up. I would ask them questions, and I would ask them what this means, or if there's a word that I could use to make them understand better. I would use that. So yeah, that's pretty much how I learned.
I imagine like when you are kind of their boss for that level, that must be a challenge not to be able to communicate 100% with them.
Yes, absolutely. But you also have the, you know, cultural differences, and then you also have a lot of different, if you add stress and if you add pressure to it, you know, especially hotels, it can be very high paced. So there's a lot of layers of complexity there, but yes, definitely language is a big factor.
Yeah. When you, because you lived at so many places, do you go back, visit, I don't know, your family somewhere? Or do you go back, I don't know, home somewhere? Or
yeah, so my parents are actually, my whole family, they're actually back in Korea. I'm the only one still abroad, let's say. So once a year I go back home.
Okay, right. And then how does it feel for you to go there? Is it, because it must be like really familiar.
Yeah, so every time I go back home, I mean, by now it's more or less familiar, let's say. Even though I lived in different countries, I did have to live in Korea for 3 years.
That sounds insane. It sounds like I had to live in Korea for 3 years.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so I had to, I actually lived in Korea for a year in between my, you know, living in different countries. There was a point where I went back for a year when I was very young. And then 2 years, I had to actually serve in the military because every abled male has to serve in the military. So that was where I had my reverse culture shock. That's where I sort of had a chance to get more familiar with the environment and my own country. So that helped, and now it's more or less familiar.
Okay. And what about because I don't know, so usually I have like my questions, and they're always like kind of suited for somebody who lived all their life in one place and then they moved to another place. But like, so how is it for you then, like culture shock wise when you moved to Bangkok? Because you were, I don't know. So how was it for you?
Yeah, Thailand was very unique. There was definitely a culture shock element because I would say most of the countries that I lived in were quite westernized, and Thailand, you know, back in 2015, it was, I guess, just starting to, it was still quite westernized, but it wasn't as westernized as it is today. So there was still a lot of local elements to it. So there was definitely a culture shock, because it was, I wasn't so familiar with Southeast Asia before then. So it was a complete new culture. The people obviously had different norms. Yeah, it was challenging, let's say, in the beginning. I maybe that's perhaps why I struggled in the beginning, right. But now I'm used to it. So yeah.
But was it at that time when they still had like a lockdown in the evenings? Because I remember there was something going on with the military that like people were like closed, or like they were like were not allowed to leave their homes after a certain time. Was it when you were there as well?
Yes, that's a good point. So actually, I went there like maybe about a 6 months or a year after that happened. So after the, there was actually a coup, a military coup.
That's crazy.
Then, yeah. So once that was done and the military took over, I think it was about 6 months to a year after that, that I went to Thailand. So everything was fine after that, when I was there.
I was there like a, still a weird feeling from that left over at that time?
There definitely was, a little coldness in the air, in certain places, I would say. And then to elevate that on top, when I was there as a student, when I first went there in Bangkok, there was actually a bombing, unfortunately, about a couple of train stations away from where I was working. And I'm not sure if it went all the way to the US, but there was a big bombing which happened. Unfortunately, a lot of people were injured, but yeah, that was, there was still a lot of things like that going on.
Yeah, I mean, there are, at that time, there were so many bombings, I feel, in Europe as well, so I might mix them up.
Yes, it was very, so you had the coup happen a year ago, and then you had that happen, so there was a lot of uncertainty a little bit as well, so people were a bit scared, but you know, in general, though, people seem to just live their life.
Yeah. How is Thailand different when you live there versus people who go there on vacation? Because, like, you hear all these, like, crazy stories from the people who go there and what they see and what they experience. And
yes, I think tourists, you know, they worked pretty hard, I'm sure, and you know, they got some holidays, so they came and they want to just, you know, release their stress. So to a certain extent, I understand, you know, the, let's say what they do, but when you're a local, it's very, very different, because yeah, you just do completely different things. Tourists, obviously, like you said, like we mentioned earlier, it's mostly the beach, you know, drinking a coconut, just having Thai food, maybe going to parties. But as an expat, occasionally you would do that, but for the most part, I think it's just more about, it's more relaxed, I would say. You mostly focus on doing things with friends, just like any other place that you are in the world. It's mostly about just creating a sense of community. There's also, I've noticed that expats are also a lot more open to discover very much local places, whereas tourists would just, you know, go to very touristy areas, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I have not thought of going to Thailand for such a long time, but it was always like on top of my list on like places to go. And I remember when I was a student and like a lot of the other people I studied with, they always went and then they came back with those, whatever, those stupid stories. And I was like, no, I don't even, that like poor girls. And so, I mean, so I think the tourists, they're always a little bit... how do you say this? They take advantage of the situation.
Yes, that definitely happens, and there's unfortunately not all tourists, of course, but there's also some reckless behavior, which is very sad to see. But in one point, I understand, you know, they want to de-stress and I guess, you know, just try to enjoy themselves. But yeah, it's also important to respect the local culture.
Where
you like understand where you are.
When you moved to the remote island, how was it then different for you from like moving to a big city to like a small island?
I was actually, well, it wasn't too much of a hard transition because I had visited the island prior many times because my partner was living here. So I was quite familiar with it. Also, before I moved back to Thailand before COVID, I actually worked on another island in Vietnam. So that's why I lived in Vietnam.
Okay.
And that island was a lot more underdeveloped. So I was actually okay with the transition. It was actually very, very smooth.
Okay. And is there anything that you really miss from the other places where you lived?
I would say maybe certain luxuries. Like, for example, it's very small things, but here on the island, the houses are very small in general. They're meant for, let's say, short-term like stays. And so, like, for example, you don't have the general facilities in the kitchen that you would have. For example, you don't have an oven, you don't have a proper, let's say, cooking stove.
Oh.
You need to get your own oven. I think those small things is something that I miss.
Yeah, and so did you get that? I mean, for you, did you just get like two stovetops or something so you can make your own food?
So we didn't get a stovetop. There's an electronic one here, but it's not, I would say, the best. But we did get an oven, a small oven, because also my partner and I, we were also thinking about doing some travel, so we didn't really get a lot of things here because we don't want to settle here completely, I think. We do want to explore other places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we didn't get a lot of things, but we got some things.
Oh, that's funny. I never thought of that. I mean, I know that. What about, like, do you have, like, a regular bathroom? Yeah, right? Because, like, if it's, like,
yes,
small place, maybe it's, like, on the hallway or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the size is much smaller, but the bathroom, you don't have as much shelves, let's say. But you have a shower area and you have, you know, just a sink, but very basic, I would say.
So it's more like a hotel room kind of size apartment or like house cabin?
Yeah, it's more like a cabin. Yeah, you could say it's kind of like a hotel room sized for the most part. Of course, there are luxury villas that have two bedrooms, three bedrooms. But for the most part, people stay in, you know, hotel sized, let's say, cabins or houses.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're the first one that says like that they miss like having like a little bit more spacious room.
Yes, that's definitely one of them. Maybe the other thing would be maybe more efficiency when it comes to, you know, just procedures, just going to the bank and getting things done quickly. I think here there can be a lot of delays or a lot of unexpected things happening. So obviously Korea, everything is very, very much direct and it's very quick. So that's one thing that I definitely miss as well.
Okay. So it's always something with the southern countries, I feel like. It's like too much sun, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Any, like, food or, like, and friends and family, I guess? You miss this?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is there anything that you really like?
Well, maybe I'll first start with what I really like. I really like the weather. There's sun almost throughout the whole year except for the rainy season. But generally the weather is great. Obviously there's no snow here. It's a tropical country. So it's great. I also really like the food. I really like nature. So there's plenty of nature here. So that's something that I really like about Thailand as well. Also, everything is so accessible. So you can travel from one side of the country to the other very easily. And there's different methods, that you can do so at a very affordable price compared to, for example, if you're living in the US or Europe. You know, things can get a bit more expensive. You don't necessarily need to have a car. Depending on where you're going, of course, it might be helpful, but it's not a must, like, for example, in the US. And then, yeah, in Korea, I would say I don't really have a lot of friends back home. But I would say I mostly miss my family.
Yeah. Is there anything that you feel unsafe? I don't even mean like the Thai people, but like animals.
that's a great question, actually. You'll be surprised by my answer, I think, because on this island specifically, and maybe perhaps also in Bangkok in general, though, I think on the road I feel unsafe a little bit. in Bangkok, on the roads, I feel unsafe because it's very chaotic. The traffic's really bad.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of motorbikes going around.
Right.
So it can sometimes feel very dangerous. On the other side, on this island, it's funny because I'm actually, let's say, a little bit afraid sometimes of foreigners, especially like tourists or even expats driving motorbikes here because they drive quite recklessly. And yeah, sometimes there's a lot of accidents happening, unfortunately, especially when people have been drinking or aren't so mindful when they drive. So that's something that I'm a little bit afraid of. But in terms of safety for my well-being overall, I feel completely safe.
Oh, here. I bet. Because I mean, I feel they have like a reputation of, I mean, there is not even like a crime. When it comes to traveling, if you think of Southeast Asia, the crime is not like on the top of your list kind of thing. So I was not expecting.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, like when you're in Bangkok, you're in a big city. So big cities are always like different, I guess. There always is crime.
In Bangkok, yeah, definitely certain areas you should avoid, especially as a foreigner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, it's Thailand and Bangkok is very, very safe.
But like unless you look like you, then you can't go anywhere because everybody thinks you're local.
That's actually very true. There are definitely benefits of me looking like a local because people will try not to rip me off, for example.
Are they do they that there too?
Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah. Okay.
So that does happen. So sometimes that happens too. It happens in taxis. It happens in shops. Sometimes they try to charge you extra. But with me, it almost never happens.
It never happens.
Especially, I try to also act Thai.
You act Thai and you like try to have no accent?
Exactly. I try to speak Thai without an accent. And sometimes it helps. Sometimes they figure out that I'm a foreigner. But, you know, overall, I think it's on my side.
Good, good, good. Yeah, you're lucky. So don't go as a white person. So yeah, but still probably I mean, for most people who go there for vacation, it still feels cheap when they get ripped off.
Exactly. And that's the reason why they take advantage of that, because they know that the foreigners are okay to pay that price because for them it's very cheap back home. So they use that to their advantage.
Yeah, what is the rate, the currency rate?
I think if I'm not sure exactly, I don't, maybe like 1,000 euros is about maybe 18,000 to 19,000 baht. That's Thai baht. That's sort of what I remember. Yeah.
How much would you pay for a loaf of bread? I mean, I don't know.
Loaf of bread would be maybe, yeah, I would say maybe like around like 50, 60 baht.
Uh-huh. And what is
so
that?
It's very cheap.
How much would that be in euros?
Let's say it should be about maybe 2 euros, a little bit less.
Okay, so but bread is maybe like something, I don't know. Do they even eat like bread? Is not like a typical diet, right? There is it?
No, not in Thailand.
So yeah. No. So let's say, like, how much is some, I don't want to sound too cliche, but so I don't want to come up with rice. So how much would be, I don't know. So what is there that we both have equally here? I mean,
that people use.
For example, how much would be a pineapple?
A pineapple, yeah, that's a good one. I would say maybe it will be similar. It will probably be about, yeah, maybe 2 to 3 euros.
Okay, so that's not even much different.
Yeah, not too bad, I would say. I mean, it also depends where you go, but yeah, I would say around that price.
Okay.
Of course, if you go to a local market, it could be a bit cheaper. It could be maybe 1 euro or a little bit less, but if you go to a supermarket, it's about 2 to 3 euros, I would say.
I feel like this is about the same here. Maybe like for one pineapple, maybe like between $3 and $4. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that's quite similar.
I thought like it would be cheaper. In Thailand.
Yeah, if you go to a local market, definitely. But I guess I was quoting more of a supermarket price.
Right. Or like, but clothes are cheaper, for example, right?
Yes, definitely. When it comes to, it also depends where you go. If you go to a local market, mm-hmm. it's, yeah, you probably pay maybe a little, maybe like, yeah, 3 to 4 euros for okay. like a basic t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is cheaper. See. Okay. All right. I just wanted to like understand like how the pricing works, you know? So why everybody says, oh yeah, it's so cheap in comparison to all the other countries in the West.
Yeah. I think a lot of people tend to compare, for example, I think food is a big one mm-hmm. based on what I know, like, and also maybe alcohol. They do. I think those two are probably the biggest comparisons that people make and determine that Thailand's cheap. Yeah.
So tell me about when you live there and your day-to-day life. So what is it like? Because you get up in the morning and then you do your job 9 to 5.
luckily, my job is flexible. Uh-huh. Actually, the first thing that I personally do is I try to get up very early and I usually go to the gym the first thing in the morning.
Okay.
And then after that, I work a little bit from maybe, let's say, around 9 to 5. Uh-huh. And then after that, it's usually going for sunset at a beach. And then, just doing a lot of cooking, I would say.
Okay.
And meal prepping.
Mm-hmm. And so what would you say you would like move somewhere else again?
Oh, you mean within Thailand or just anywhere?
No, like anywhere.
Absolutely. Actually, my partner and I were actually discussing on... I mean, we both wanted to really experience more of Central and South America.
Uh-huh.
And my partner's from the US, so uh-huh. eventually we might think about settling in the US. But for now, we both want to live in a different place because we've both been in Thailand for quite some time now.
Okay.
So we're considering on exploring maybe Central or South America.
Okay. So you were thinking already of like trying something new, but do you have by now Thai citizenship?
No, I do not. So Thai citizenship is quite surprisingly difficult to get, mm-hmm. but a lot of people don't really get that unless they marry someone from Thailand.
Okay. So do you still have like a work visa?
Yes. So I had a work visa recently, mm-hmm. Up until recently, but it expired. So right now I'm actually on a tourist visa.
Ah, okay.
But I will be leaving soon.
That is like a 6 month thing and then you have to cross the border somewhere and then you can come back?
Exactly. So it's a border run basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I will do my next one, I think, around May. And then after that, we're planning on leaving before summer. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're leaving to South America by summer?
So we're first going to travel a little bit in the region. And then we're going to go home for the festive season. I think we'll probably go to the US, actually, around December to uh-huh. see my partner's family and, spend some time there. And then... once that is done, I think maybe next year we're planning on going to Central or South America.
Oh, okay. So how do you feel of leaving all your stuff behind?
That's a great question. I think it's mixed feelings because there's one part of me that really enjoys being in one place, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I do miss that travel aspect, especially, during COVID we were... let's say stuck here, mm-hmm. so which I didn't mind, but I felt the need for a change because COVID lasted quite some time. So I'm excited to move on.
And do you need to do I don't know, so do you have like a lot of stuff that you have to can take with you? Or I mean, you just moved there like a year ago, and what about like all your belongings?
So actually I've downsized quite a bit of my stuff, mm-hmm. so either donated some things or sold some things. We're also probably going to take some things, maybe send some things back to Korea,
mm-hmm.
While we travel. And then there's also a way for us to leave some of our stuff here before we go to Central South America, because we have some friends in Bangkok, and they can they're willing to keep our stuff.
Sure. And how long has your partner been in Thailand?
So she's been here for about 5 years, almost 5 years.
Okay, also a while. Do you worry, or I don't know, do you ever get tired of like starting again from the beginning, from scratch, like when it comes to making friends or like...
That's a good question. Not necessarily. I think it's probably because I've just been doing that pretty much my whole life.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. Yeah.
But of course, there's always, you know, even though that has happened, there's a certain element where, you know, you have there's certain things that are uncertain, let's say, when you go to a new country. So there's a little bit of that always that carries with me. But overall, I'm totally okay with it. And it makes me feel excited, actually.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you want to stay at some place for longer, so like, what does that mean for you?
Probably a place where, of course, you know, I feel like I'm at home, where there's a great community. Maybe I have a great group of friends there that mm-hmm. are also settling. A place maybe that has plenty of nature, of mm-hmm. course, that's something that I really love. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it would ideally look like.
Okay. Is like long term for you, like 2 years or 10 years or?
I would say maybe like 10 years and above.
Okay. Yeah, that's a long time.
Like staying a long term.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good luck on settling somewhere, finding it.
Thank you.
South Philadelphia. Were you thinking of maybe settling if you like it?
Probably not. Settling completely. I think I definitely want to travel and spend, you know, maybe a couple of years in the region. Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to settling, preferably I would like to settle in Europe because I feel the most comfortable there, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, also thinking about when I have a family, I think that, you know, in terms of education, I think personally I like the education in Europe, and specifically maybe the northern part of Europe.
Okay.
But definitely want to spend a few years in the region, Central South America.
Uh-huh. Interesting. I mean, yes, the Norwegians, I guess, number one in like school systems, or wasn't it the Norwegians? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Norwegians or the Swedish, I'm not sure exactly.
I don't remember either.
Which country, but.
But they're really right up there. That's right. But
yeah.
That's for another discussion. So I guess we're coming to an end. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm glad we had this conversation and you told me about your story. Yeah, that was Kevin's story. And what I learned from talking to Kevin was, one, that there are many expats in Thailand or in Bangkok. So if you are thinking of going, then it's good to know that you're not the only one. And then, of course, crazy tourists, some, not all. And then still, it seemed like Kevin still has like a normal lifestyle. The big difference is like he has really nice beaches and sunsets in the evening. And it seems that it's hard to put down roots when you are moving around so much growing up. Okay, so, and then later when we both stopped recording, but we kept on talking for a while. And then he mentioned that if you are a foreigner, you will earn better for the same job as a local person. And I thought that was kind of weird. It doesn't sound right for the local people, in my opinion. And then, of course, I have to say sorry for my dumb and silly questions, especially for the bathroom question.
What? You are kidding, right?
I did. So, yeah, sorry for that. Still, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you tune in again next week for another episode of Worlds Collide with me, your host, Victoria. And today I have a special guest, my daughter, Juno. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Yes. All right. I hope you will tune in again next week. Bye.